Hate the good song. I too want to ask the attention of those today that are here that have not been saved. I want to ask you to give your attention today to the word of the Lord. I want to invite you to turn with me today and read in the scripture reading. Turn to the first chapter of Job. Job chapter 1, and let's begin to read together with the first verse of the first chapter of Job. And I would like to read this chapter in its entirety for a scripture reading today. Job chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And that's reading, as I said, the first chapter of the book of Job for a scripture reading today. And I want to speak to you today about suffering loss, experiencing loss and suffering loss. Earlier downstairs, Brother Durant was teaching the adult class downstairs, and he was reading from the 18th chapter of Luke some of the parables that the Lord spoke while he was here on earth. And if you've studied the New Testament, if you've studied the teachings of Christ, you know that that was his method of teaching oftentimes, was that he taught in parables. And Brother Durant read there about the parable that Jesus spoke, where he used a Pharisee and a publican in that parable about prayer, that they went up into the temple to pray. But now, what we read and what I have read before you today in the first chapter of Job is not a parable. This was a real, actual, these were real, actual events that took place. There was a man named Job that truly lived on the earth. Most people believe that Job is one of the oldest books of the Bible. And I don't know exactly, the time frame that Job lived in, but I'm persuaded that in the chronological order that we have in the Bible, it's out of place. I'm sure that it precedes some of the things chronologically that are before it. But there was a man by the name of Job. And these things that the Scriptures tell us about him, they were true. And he did possess these things. And the great loss that came upon him, I'm convinced, really happened to this man. Now, you know, perhaps in our lifetime, we won't experience the great degree of loss in the way that Job did, but I will guarantee you that if you live in this world long enough, you're going to suffer the loss of things. And the things that the Bible tells us here about the life of Job and the way that God had blessed the life of this man. And when I look today, and Brother Lowe mentioned in the talk that he made this morning, and, even though things, lately have been kind of difficult for many people, yet we are still a very prosperous people, aren't we? And we are still a very blessed people. And we are enjoying, the blessings of the Lord in a material sense even, that there's many people in the world that don't know what that's like. I mean, there's people in the world that have no clue what it would be like to be able to live the type of lifestyle that you and I have been able to live. They can't even fathom such a thing. Oftentimes when people come here, even our brethren, at times when they come here from other places, I'm sure that they suffer a culture shock. They just don't know the type of life that we live here in this country. And, I'm afraid that we're not nearly thankful enough for the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. But I promise you that all of these things that are mentioned in the first chapter of Job, the possessions that he had, I promise you that the possessions that you and I have, you know, that are under our stewardship, that they are all subject to loss the same way that those were that Job had. And I'm afraid that perhaps sometimes that, you know, maybe we have the type of life that we have been blessed to live thus far, that perhaps we allow ourselves to develop a false sense of security in these things. And, you know, I don't know what's on the horizon, but it may very well be that before too much more time passes, that God is going to really humble this nation. And, I mean, certainly there are things happening that I know that make me think that, and I believe that you have thought those things as well. But all of these temporal possessions, and truly, you and I really, if we want to be honest about it, we don't really own anything. We are only allowed to be stewards over that God lets us have while we're here. But rest assured, God is the owner. Now, the farmer could look out at his farm and he could say, look at all of my cattle out there. But you know what the Bible tells me? The Bible tells me that the Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, God is the owner. And so those things that we have are things that he allows us to use while we are here. But let's not deceive ourselves into a false sense of security. Let's remember, just like it was with Job, that all of these temporal things that we have, that we are subject to loss. We're subject to lose them. Now, I don't know how that we might react. I believe that the life of Job and the first chapter of Job here is one of the most inspirational things in all the scriptures. I mean, you talk about a man that loved God. His hope wasn't in those things that he was allowed to possess. Now, that's what the devil thought. That's what he thought about Job. That's what he even brought to God. He said, you know, listen, the only reason that Job loves you the way that he does is because that you have blessed his life so much. You built a hedge around him and you blessed the work of his hands. But God, you lift up your hand against him and take all these things away and he won't care a thing for you. That's what the devil thought. Wonder what he thinks about us. But he was wrong about Job. You know, God knew Job, didn't he? I mean, God really knew him. God knew his heart. God said, well, God allowed it. He allowed it. Don't you believe that God allows things in our lives? Don't you believe today that God allows trials to come our way? That God allows us to suffer loss? Listen, we need to follow the Lord's teachings in this, and we need to, as Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on earth, because there moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal. Listen, I feel sorry for anybody that has placed their hope in the temporal things of this swift life that we live. Well, that's not where Job's treasures were. Jesus said, lay not up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. And listen, wherever that a person's treasure is, Jesus said, that's where their heart is going to be also. Now, I don't believe Job's heart was in those cattle. I don't believe it was the camel and the sheep and the donkeys and all those things that he owned. It was in the Lord. And so when he suffered the loss of those things, he was able, with all the dignity and the grace that God would provide him, he was able to say, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken them away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, he went on. We continue to read in the book of Job, and we find that God even allowed him to be physically afflicted with sores from head to toe. And even his own wife tried to get him to just, you know, curse God and die. And he said, well, that's foolish. Boy, there's been a lot of people that didn't think that was foolish. There's been a lot of people that, you know, when they begin to lose things in this life, the first one they turn on is God. You know, why would God let such a thing happen to me? You know, I mean, the Bible tells us that Job was living a good, godly life, was he not? He was, you know, the Bible says he was a just man. He feared God and he shunned evil. And he was living his life, you know, the way that God would have him to live his life. And yet all of these things came upon him. And listen, we cannot. Now, you know, perhaps sometimes there are things that God brings up on people because of the way that they live their lives. But listen, we can't. Every time that we see somebody being tried, we can't say, well, that person must have done something to God. That's just not true. The Lord tries our faith. And we're tested from time to time. And so, you know, there's nothing that we have here you know, earthly possessions, our health. You know what? You can be a picture of health one day and be desperately ill the next day. I mean, even your health can be lost just like that. There have been people that have suffered the loss of these things, you know, sometimes because they put their trust in somebody else. They had somebody overseeing their estate and they trusted them to, you know, do the right things with it. And they trusted that person to make the right investments for them. And they put their trust in some other person and they got burned. And I'm telling you, listen, I am telling you today that the things that we have in this life, they can be gone much quicker than you may even realize that those things can be gone from us. And so this is good instruction for everybody, that we don't lay up our treasures here and that we don't have our trust placed in these things. That we know something and we have something, we possess something that cannot and never will be taken away from us. Now, when I leave the world, whatever that I have in my possession at that time, and only the Lord knows right now what that will be, but when I leave this world, whatever is in my possession at that time, I promise you, and I will make this promise to you, not only according to common sense, but according to the Word of God as well, that whatever I possess at that time is not going with me. I'm not taking one bit of it with me when I leave this world. We came into the world, as Job said, as Paul said in his writing to Timothy, we came into this world with nothing. We came in owning nothing. You know what? When I was born into the world, I didn't even have clothes. I mean, we were literally born naked. We didn't even own clothing. And everything, material-wise, everything that we have had since that day has been given to us, or we've gained it through labor. And when it comes time to die, we're not taking one thing with us. You know what you could do? You could have them put you in a great big. You could have them put your body in a great big box that was big enough to put all of your worldly possessions in, and you still wouldn't get those things out of this world with you. You still wouldn't take them into eternity with you. And listen, that's okay with me, because where I'm going, I don't need any of those things. Those things that I possessed in this life won't be of any value to me whatsoever. God has everything I need waiting for me on the other side of this life. God's going to spoil His children. I mean, we're going to experience riches like we've never known for those who have been saved. But we won't need those things. We're not taking them with us. But there was a time, there was a moment in my life when I called upon God and He did something in my heart. He saved me from my sins. He saved me by His grace. And when I die, I'm taking salvation with me into eternity. And that's all that I need. That's all that I need to make it to heaven. I don't need anything else. I only have need of these things while I live here. And I think we all know, if we're willing to be honest, I think we all know that we have much more than what we really need. I mean, we've spoiled ourselves, honestly. We have a lot more than what we actually need to get by in this life. But this is a world where we suffer loss. We lose possessions. You know, money can be lost. As we find here in the first chapter of Job, we suffer the loss of loved ones while we go through this life. We suffer the loss of parents. We suffer the loss of siblings, spouses, children. We suffer the loss of human life while we live here in this world. And it will be that way for us as long as we do live. Our lives are subject to things being lost. But I want to talk about something that the Lord Jesus spoke about. And there's something, friend, today, and I want to speak to you that are lost for just a few moments, because there's something you have that you just simply cannot afford to lose, and that's your soul. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus asked this question. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, truly, I can't imagine gaining the whole world. If I understand right what Jesus is asking here in this question, what if a man owned everything? What if all of the money in the world was yours? What if all of the cars in our day and age, what if all the cars in the world and the trucks and all of these earthly possessions, what if it was all yours? What if it belonged to one individual? If you owned everything, if you gained the whole world and lost your own soul, what would it profit you? What's the answer? Nothing. It would be of no profit to you whatsoever. Well, why not, preacher? Because it's not eternal. It's not eternal. It's only temporary. I mean, you could according to the ways of this world, boy, you could really live it up if you owned it all, couldn't you? If you had all the money and all the possessions of this world, I mean, you could live what a lot of people nowadays are calling the good life, but that's not the good life. The good life is knowing the Lord and possessing eternal life, having something that cannot be lost. Listen, of all of those things that I've spoken about today, and I realize in my life that those things can be gone from me very quickly, but there's something that God is keeping for me. I mean, God has it in His hands. And Jesus said, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Listen, once you have been saved by the grace of God, you have a true security. You have an eternal security. You have something that cannot be taken away. You have something that cannot be lost. You have a home in heaven when life is over that cannot fade away. The Apostle Peter said it's reserved in heaven for you and it does not fade away. I would urge you, today, if you're not saved, to put your trust in the Lord and to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul, that you can have something that you can say, listen, nobody can take this away. Fire can't take it. There was an accident that I happened on here just a couple days back. And the cars were all smashed up, looked bad. And found out the next day that one of the passengers in that car lost her life. Lost her life in the accident. You know, listen, this earthly life, we're going to lose. One way or another, we're going to give it up. We're going to lose it. But to have something and to be able to say, listen, God gave me something that fire can't burn, that can't be killed in an accident, that cannot be taken away from me by a thief, that will not decay, that the moth and rust cannot corrupt it. It's in my heart. God is keeping it by His power, and He'll present me faultless before His throne one day, and I have heaven ahead of me. I have heaven to look forward to. I have eternal life in the presence of Jesus, my Savior, to look forward to. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If this were to happen, if I were to lose all of my earthly possessions, when you attend my funeral, don't you dare say that man died a pauper. I die just as rich as I could be. Just as rich as I could be. That's what true prosperity is, knowing the Lord, knowing God in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. The rest of it is temporary. I want to ask you today, don't you want to know the Lord? Don't you want to have that eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you want it, you've got to seek it. You've got to meet His conditions. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to place all of your trust in Him. What happens, Brother Jackson, when a person does that? They get saved, don't they? They get saved. Let's have a song. And I want to encourage you today, if you're lost, you seek the Lord for that which will last forever. Seek Him. Seek Him today for the salvation of your soul while we stand and sing.